Welcome to the Redemption Life Church Podcast. Get ready for a powerful, life-changing message of freedom and encouragement. When you are in the Brookville area, join us for an exciting and uplifting worship experience. Times and locations available at www.redlifechurch.com. Follow us on Twitter at Red Life Church and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/redlifechurch.
11. Let me read a few scriptures to establish a train of thought, and then we're going to dig into it. Acts chapter 11, verse 21. We're going to read verse 21, then we're going to skip to verse 27 to 28, then we're going to skip over to Acts chapter 13 real quick. Here we go. Acts 13, you've been in Acts 13 for 3 weeks. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff you can unpack from God's word. It's awesome. Acts chapter 11, verse 21 says, the power of the Lord was with them. The power of the Lord is with them. This is talking about the Antioch church. The power of the Lord is with them, and a large number of these Gentiles believed and turned to the Lord. The power of the Lord is with them, and a large number of these believed. Acts chapter 21, verse 27, 28 says, during this time, some prophets traveled from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up in one of the meetings and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. The power of the Lord was with them. A prophet stood up and spoke and gave a prophecy by the Spirit. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 and 3 said, one day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Okay, let me read that again. Verse 2 says, as they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit, everybody say the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, dedicate Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I've called them. Today we're going to look at this facet, this characteristic of the Antioch church. And it's this. The Antioch church was a church. It is undeniable when you read what God did through these believers. You cannot deny the active involvement and working of the Holy Spirit in the lives and through the lives of the church. And today we're going to talk about Christian first. What does it mean to be Christian first? Christian first means that I'm a person who relies upon the Holy Spirit in my daily life. Amen? In fact, let me just say this. A life lived with Christ first is going to be a life marked by the activity and the movement of the Holy Spirit in my life. Amen? Let me say that again. A life lived with Christ is going to be a life marked by the activity of the Holy Spirit. Now, why is this important? Why does this matter? Why? Listen, Pastor Justin, you don't understand. I've got problems. I've got debt I'm trying to get taken care of. I've got issues in my marriage. I've got issues in my home. I need to learn. I need to know how to make my life work. How do I make Jesus work in my life? Because all these things aren't working. Let me tell you why this is a huge, huge deal and why this matters. First off, number one, listen to me now. The Holy Spirit working in my life and in your life and in our life to transform us, to make us more like Jesus, to actively be involved in our life, to have the sense that God is doing something in my life and in our home as a church family that I cannot do on my own. Listen, that is the one thing that there is absolutely no duplication for in the world. Okay? The working of the Holy Spirit to change lives, to transform lives, to set people free, to enact the will of God, the word of God in my life, to make those things come to fruition in my life. Listen, there is no, let me say it this way. We have some great music and musicians here in this church and in the church throughout the world. God has raised up amazing, talented people with gifts that far supersede any kind of musical gift I could ever imagine. But guess what? The world has that too. Okay? Guess what? You don't have to come to church every Sunday morning to hear an inspirational message. You can go on TED Talks. You can listen to podcasts. You can go to your favorite self-help seminar. You can listen to Tony Robbins. You can listen to Oprah Winfrey, whoever speaks to you. Listen, there are inspirational people who can encourage you in the world. And I'm not necessarily knocking those guys. I'm just saying those guys aren't preaching the gospel. Okay? You hear what I'm saying? The one thing that the church has that cannot be duplicated, that cannot be substituted for, is the work and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our midst and in our lives. And the thing, the tension we have is that we have a whole generation, especially here in America, okay? We have a whole generation of modern churches and modern believers, quote unquote modern, okay, who for whatever reason have tried to pretend that we can somehow do God's work without his power. Or believe that we can somehow accomplish great things for God without the active work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so we don't talk about the Holy Spirit. We don't teach on the Holy Spirit. We don't even really want the Holy Spirit to show up in our times of meeting. And certainly not in our Monday through Friday. How could we when we never talk about him on Sunday? Now I feel like this amazing tension. I love it. I thrive on this at all. Because here's what's happening right now in this very room. You are in one of two camps. When I begin to say and talk about the fact that we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, you are in one of two camps in this room today. You are either saying, finally, because we don't go crazy here. You know, my job as a preacher is to preach to you the whole Bible, Jesus, not just talk to you about the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Okay? So you're either in this place and you come from a Spirit-filled background and you're saying, finally, the preacher is going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Woo! Getting ready to shout. Somebody, you're changing your shoes right now, getting your dancing shoes on, right? Okay, you think, okay. Or you're either saying finally, or you are getting very nervous and you are getting frightened. Okay, you're in probably one of those two camps. You're either saying finally, it's about time, or you're beginning to squirm and you're wondering if you can get out of here without making a big deal, and you're scared to death right now, okay? Now, let me just put you at ease if you are in the latter of those camps. Listen to me. Listen to me close, okay? I don't believe anything too frightening is going to happen here this morning as we talk about God's word and look at the active work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Because here's the situation. Especially when it comes to church people and Christians and the talk of the Holy Spirit, most of our fears are based on either simply something I don't know, okay? And I don't mean this word is not, this just mean you don't know. It's based on ignorance. And I don't mean that in a slight way or in a condescending way, but it's based on ignorance. It's based on something I just don't have information on. Or it's based on somebody's previous past experience that maybe was bad, okay? Maybe you've had a bad experience with someone who said they were Pentecostal, which meant they were tongue talkers and believed in the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit and all that. And maybe they were jerks, or maybe they did something weird, or maybe they did something a little crazy or a little out of the norm, and that kind of just put a sour taste in your mouth on this whole idea of that the Holy Spirit is even alive or well or working. And so we're just going to cut all that stuff out of the Bible. But when I look at these people that were called Christians first, the power of the Lord, what's the power of the Lord? That's the Holy Spirit. The power of the Lord is with them. And many people were drawn to Jesus in this church where they were first called Christians. In Acts 11:27-28, a prophet stood up and gave a prophetic word by the Holy Spirit about a famine that was going to hit the land. And if you do a little church history, you'll find out that what happened was that prophetic word, that what they did is Antioch and Paul, led by Paul, they began to immediately take up special offerings from all the churches all over the world. That's that way when the famine came, they would be ready to be generous, to give, to help those in need, and actually they sent a lot of money and finances to Jerusalem, where the famine hit the hardest a few years later. Okay, so a prophetic word was given. The men of the church were fasting and praying, and the Holy Spirit spoke to them and said, "Send out Paul and Barnabas to the work I've called them." Okay, so I can't deny that the Holy Spirit was a big part of the life of this church where they were first called Christians. And if he was a big part of their life there, then it stands to reason that I might need to figure out how to make him a part of my Christian experience today if I'm going to be a Christian first. Amen, somebody. Okay? So if we're afraid because of something I don't know, Micah, my son, he's nine, right, babe? Yeah. There's too many kids and I get confused on numbers sometimes. They drive me crazy and they always test me on it. How old am I, Dad? Okay, Micah's nine, right? He just turned nine a couple of months ago. He just discovered an amazing lunch option for himself this summer. He discovered the magic of bologna and cheese with mayonnaise. Now, you don't understand what it took for me to convince him to first try a bite of bologna. What is this? What is this red thing? I don't peel that off. Don't eat that. And what is this even made of? We don't know what it's made of, son. It's made of magic. It's made of magic and flavor. That's what's in there. And so don't judge me. How could you let your child eat bologna? Listen, because it's cheap. Okay, I can feed this kid now every day for 30 cents. Okay, and so it took some doing though, because he had never tried it before. And then I said, bro. He said, that's pretty good. I'll eat that on a sandwich. I said, listen, if you want to take us to the next level, you want to take your bologna and cheese game to the next level, you need to throw a little mayonnaise on that bread, son. He's like, I don't like mayonnaise, Dad. I'm like, no, nobody likes mayonnaise by itself. That's not how mayonnaise was designed. But there's another magical ingredient in mayonnaise that is designed to work perfectly with the bread and the cheese and the bologna, and it will just take it to another level. So he said, okay, I'll try it. So I put the mayonnaise on there for him, and he ate the bologna, cheese, and mayonnaise. And I promise you, this is probably 2.5 weeks ago. I believe he's eaten bologna and cheese and mayonnaise at least for one meal every single day since then. And he's like, Dad, we got to get some more bologna. I'm like, I'm going to get you, buddy. I will get you as much bologna as you want if you'll keep it. Okay, so he's been crushing. But here's the deal. He was scared of trying it because he never had it before. And how many times, not just in our Christian, but how many times in our life do we just decide something's not for us, not because we've never experienced it, but because maybe we had a bad experience with the past, or maybe we just don't know anything about it, and so we just decide, well, none of that is for me, right? And here's the deal. I don't believe that any of you would counsel any of your kids. If you had a kid and you were trying to convince them to do something, you said, there's something I think you should really do. And they said, well, I just don't want to try it because I've never done it before. Or they said, well, I heard so-and-so said this about it. Or I tried it once before and it didn't really work out. I bet none of us would give the advice to that person on any subject and say, well, you know what? Just don't ever try it again then. Or, you know, oh, you don't know anything. Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. You should not know anything about it, and you should not give it a chance, and you should not give it a try, and you should not discover whether or not that is something God has for your life or not. None of us would give that advice. However, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, there's like something that there's like this wall that goes up that when people hear the Holy Spirit, they're like, pump the brakes, Pastor. Whoa. I don't know about this. I don't know, because I heard that the Holy Spirit doesn't even, he's like not even alive anymore. He died when Jesus died, and he's not around anymore. And I heard, if you talk about the Holy Spirit, you know, we're going to be clucking like chickens and running around the room and doing some crazy stuff. And none of that is hopefully true. I don't want to cluck like a chicken, you know, and I don't like to run at all. So here's what you understand, guys. Fear of the unknown or fear of a possible fear of repeating a possible past experience. You know what? If I'm not careful, that can become a ceiling over my life. And God is saying, I've got all this other good stuff for you, but you've decided this is as high as I'm going to get. Okay? And let me just say this. Let me just read this scripture from Jesus. Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. John 16, 7 and 8. Listen to what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. Okay. Jesus said, but in fact, this is what he's talking to the disciples. He says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. Some of the disciples, it's best for you. Some translations say it's good for you that I go away. Because if I don't, the advocate, which is in the Greek is paraclete, which is translating the Holy Spirit, okay. If I don't, the advocate or the Holy Spirit won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. I said all that to say, listen, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is good for you. Jesus said it's good for you that I go away so that I can send you the comforter, the helper, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, okay? So let me just say this, guys. If Jesus said it's good for me, I don't have anything to be afraid of. Amen, somebody. That set somebody free right now. I literally felt a release in my spirit of freedom. The moment that just clicked in somebody's head. If Jesus said it's good for me, I don't have anything to be afraid of. Amen? And Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is good for me. So I don't have anything to be afraid of. Now, why was it best? Because these guys have given their whole lives to Jesus, and he's saying, guys, I've got to go away, and it's going to be the best for you. How is it possible that Jesus going away is possibly best for us? Who's got you to understand? Jesus was the embodiment in flesh of the entirety of the Godhead on earth. So all of God, for Jesus' 33 and a half years, dwelt within skin in the man, Jesus. So that means that even though God was omnipresent, he chose for that period of time to only be housed in one vessel, okay? So that means that the Holy Spirit, God's presence, could really only be wherever Jesus showed up because even though he was all God, he was also all man. He chose to operate under the same principles and rules that govern our lives as well, but he was governed by the Holy Spirit in those rules. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So Jesus said, listen, it's going to be better for you for me to go because right now all of God is in me. And what I've got to do is I've got to pay the price on the cross so that I can get all of God into all of you. So that way, when I go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, what happens was all the Holy Spirit that was in Jesus was sent to earth and dwelled inside of the hearts of humanity. And now the Holy Spirit is able to be wherever Jesus' followers are. So I don't have to go somewhere to find Jesus. Jesus shows up wherever I am in me through the Holy Spirit. And so he says, it's good for you, man. It's good for you to have the Holy Spirit in your life. It's good for you. It's good for the world. It's good for all of us. It's good for you. I saw some good things from the Holy Spirit. Some good things from the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 6 and 8, the Holy Spirit, when he comes, is going to convict of sin and convince of righteousness. Some of you experienced the Holy Spirit. You didn't even know about it. Whenever you were about to lie and you had that little feeling on the inside of you going, tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth. That was the Holy Spirit. Amen? How many of you at times in your life need a little convincing on the things of God? You know whose job it is to do that? The Holy Spirit. Amen? Whenever your situation or circumstance looks crazy and it looks something completely opposite to what you're reading in God's Word and what God's Word tells you, and your doubt creeps in and says it's never going to change, it's never going to line up, it's never going to get right, the Holy Spirit is the one that shows up and convinces your heart. It will change. It will line up. God's Word is true. That's part of his job. That's what he's sent here to do. In us, through us, with us. Amen? I'll tell you something else the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit in Acts 11 says the power of the Lord, which is another way to say the Holy Spirit, the power of God, that is the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the third part of the Trinity, the third part of the Godhead, but the Holy Spirit is the power part of God. It's how God gets things done. All the way back into creation, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, that the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the face of the deep, and when God spoke, it was the Spirit that began to act. You understand? So the Holy Spirit is the active nature of God alive in the earth. Okay? So that's how things get done. So you know what the Holy Spirit does in life? The Holy Spirit draws people to him. The Holy Spirit draws people to him. The Holy Spirit draws people to him. Listen. We have our outreaches. We have our creative ways of doing things. We have our things that we're trying to, listen, we have our things that we're trying to appeal to someone's human nature to get them curious and to get them in the door and to get them listening. But ultimately, it has to be the Holy Spirit that draws people to Christ. And let me just say real quick, guys, listen, Acts chapter 11, 21, what we read earlier, the power of the Lord was with them and drew many people to the Lord. Listen to me, we are here, Red Life Church, not to draw people to Red Life Church, not to draw people to Justin Bradley, not to draw people to yourself, and not to draw people to any certain denominational stance or theological. We are here to draw people to Jesus. And the only person that can do that is the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit does it through you and me, but we've got to understand that it is the Holy Spirit that does it. And so if I've just determined in my life, well, you know what, the Holy Spirit stuff, that's not for me. That's not a part of my life. That's not going to be a part of my Christian experience. Guess what? Then it will always just be me trying to draw people. But I want to see God do something that only he can do. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, convinces of righteousness, draws people to him. We're all usually on board with that. Now, this is where things get a little quirky. You know what else the Holy Spirit does? Can we put Galatians 5:16? Do you have that up there for me? Galatians 5:16. Put that on the screen for me. If we don't have it, let me know. Okay, there we go. Watch this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know what else the Holy, you know some other, another good thing from the Holy Spirit we have when we let the Holy Spirit be active in our lives? We have power over sin. Because the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now I know you've been told, well, you're just a sinful creature and you're always going to be a sinful creature, and bless God, we're just on this earth waiting to get to heaven. And there is a part of that that's true. As long as I'm on this earth, I'm dealing with this flesh. But this tells me that through the Holy Spirit, I can overcome my flesh. I don't have to be addicted to the things I'm addicted to. I don't have to be reliant on the things I'm relying on. I don't have to be feeling the thoughts of negativity. Why? I can overpower those sinful nature through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? How many want to have power over sin in your life? It's available through the Holy Spirit. It's available through the Holy Spirit. Power over that pride that makes you write checks with your mouth that you can't cash. Come on, somebody. See, you say sin, you think I'm talking about drug addicts and porn addicts and sex and all kinds of other stuff. How about pride? I need power of that in my life. The Holy Spirit gives me that as I begin to let myself live in the Spirit. Amen? Power over the Spirit. Let me tell you some other good things the Holy Spirit gives us is his gifts. Now, this is where we draw a line in the sand a lot of times. Oh, yes, Pastor, I need conviction. I need to know what I'm doing wrong. Yes, I need to be convinced of the Word of God. Oh, yes, I want power over sin. Oh, yes, I want to see many people wander to the Lord. But here's the deal. If I want the Holy Spirit active in my life, then I've got to accept every part of who he is and everything that God said he could be. Amen? See, a lot of times we want the power of the Spirit. We want the anointing of the Spirit. We want the moving of the Spirit. We want many people to be won. We want to have victory in our lives. But we want all those things without the gifts of the Spirit that sometimes make us uncomfortable. The reality is that doesn't make much sense. Wanting the power of the Spirit without his gifts is like wanting to eat a steak without killing a cow. This ain't going to work. Okay? Now, I've never butchered a cow before. I butchered a couple deer, but so I can imagine how big of a... it's a messy situation. Right? Sometimes it don't look pretty. But if I want that ribeye steak, baby, I gotta deal with it. Okay? So if I want the Holy Spirit, I've gotta have all I can't decide I'm just gonna have this much and no more. Amen. You got that scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, and put 1 Corinthians 12 there first one. I didn't want to turn and read it all. And I could preach for another year on each one of these, and I'm not gonna do that. But I just want to read this quickly. There's two listings of the gifts of the Spirit in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given the Spirit a message of wisdom, another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, that's discernment, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues. That's usually the big one that we all get freaked out about, to still another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, let me help you out with tongues just for a second, real briefly, okay? Because I want to respect your time. I'm trying to get you out of here in about the next 10 minutes, but I got to give you this. I can't talk about this and not give you this little information. If you want to ask me about it later, you can. If you want to do some study on your own, you can. Romans chapter 8, 1 Corinthians 14 is where this is going to be pulled from. Now, listen to me close on tongues, okay? Because that's where, like, a lot of people are like, well, I like all other stuff, but that tongues thing, that's a little weird. It's a little crazy, okay? Okay. You got to understand that this type of tongue that he's talking about as a gift is primarily a prophetic gift. It is a message that the Holy Spirit is giving in another language. Could be a language that we know on earth. Could be a language that's only known in heaven. We don't know. In Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit first descended upon the hearts of humanity and they spilled out into the streets and they were getting kind of crazy. The fact they were so under the influence of the Holy Spirit that the people gathered around them said, these dudes are drunk. And somebody said, we ain't drunk. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning, man. We might drink, but we ain't that drunk. You know what I'm saying? And so, they're like, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, we ain't drunk. It is the Holy Spirit working through us. And the Bible says they heard the men in Acts chapter 2 singing the praises of God in their own native languages. Okay? So that was a prophetic message at a given time. Now, what happens is, you're like, okay, I can get on board with that. But what about when I hear like somebody praying in tongues or in worship and they're speaking this other language? That's gibberish and that's crazy. Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that we in our spirit, the Spirit of God on the inside of us that we received when we received Jesus, the Spirit of God sometimes prays to God in groanings and intercessions that cannot be understood with our own ears. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, when a man prays in the Spirit, he utters mysteries in his spirit between him and God, between him and heaven. So there is a difference between praying in tongues and speaking in tongues. Pray, when I am praying in tongues, and just so you know, I pray in tongues. I pray in tongues a lot. I do it almost every single day. I do it on demand. God does not work my mouth like a puppet and make me say a bunch of stuff. No, it is a language that God has given me. It's a prayer language. And let me tell you something about your prayer language. Praying in tongues is a prayer language between you and God alone. Okay? I may have to dig back into this. I may take another week on this because there needs to be some teaching here that I don't have time for this morning. Okay? So, but you just need to know that's a part of the Spirit of God, okay? That's part of the Holy Spirit working in my life. Why would I need to pray in tongues? The Bible says, Paul says, when a man prays in tongues, he utters mysteries with his spirit, okay? There are some things that God wants me to pray into my life and into the earth that I may not be ready to know yet. But God works through word and language and has decided to work through light B, earth B. God works the spoken word. And so when God begins to do something, he wants to give somebody a word to speak it and release it into the earth. Okay? But there are some things God may want to get released into my life and released into the earth that I may not be ready for. Let me just backtrack this all the way up to the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John chapter 1, when John the Baptist, an angel shows up to Zechariah, who is John the Baptist's dad, and says, hey, your barren wife, she's about to have a kid. The Bible says that Zechariah questioned the angel, like, hey, my wife's barren. She ain't having no kids. Are you crazy? You know what happened? The Bible says that Zechariah's mouth was shut until the baby was born. Do you know why? Because Zechariah doubted, and God knew if I let this joker keep talking, he is going to undo with his doubt in his words what I want to do in the earth, so I'm going to shut his mouth. That's the power. Proverbs says the power of life and death is in my tongue. Okay? I know I'm throwing a lot of deep, heavy stuff at some of y'all this morning. I get it. And I may backtrack and take some time and dig into all this stuff, okay? But when I pray in tongues, I'm praying and releasing the mysteries of heaven into my life, into the earth, into my situation, into my home. Guys, we need that. Amen? I need that in my life. And let me just say this about the Holy Spirit and all of his gifts. It's not for a select few group of holier-than-thou people who are perfect and have everything. The Holy Spirit is for every believer in Jesus Christ who wants more of God, okay? So these are good things from the Holy Spirit. Get throw Romans 8 up there for me real quick. Romans 12. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And that's it. So that's another listing of the gifts of the Spirit. Those are all, what we just read in those two verses are all different gifts of the Spirit. And guess what? Jesus said it's good for you. These are good things. Good things. Even the tongues? Yes, even the tongues. But I don't understand it yet. I don't have to understand how a car engine works for me to drive it. I just have to know how to turn on the keys and do some other stuff. But, you know, you get the idea. Amen? So these are good things. So I can't have the power of the Holy Spirit without having his gifts available in my life. And when the power of the Spirit shows up, the gifts of the Spirit show up. Now, I can't say it any other way. God, sometimes when the Holy Spirit moves in your life, the Holy Spirit may move somebody to do something weird. The Holy Spirit may move somebody to do something that seems a little abnormal. But can I tell you something, guys? Can I just be real honest with you this morning? I think we could do in our world with a little bit of abnormal. Because normal, frankly, is just not working. Amen? And I believe in the church especially, God is looking for a church who is not afraid to be different. And the people that we're believing to be drawn to the Lord, and the people that we're believing to be saved, and the people that we're believing to come to Christ, they may not even know it yet, but what they need, listen to me, what they need is not more of the same on Sunday morning. They need something different that they don't get in their family, that they don't get at home, that they can't get in their job, and they don't get in the problem. And what is that different thing? The only different thing that we really have, guys, is the Holy Spirit. So we want the Holy Spirit. We got to say, Holy Spirit, Jesus, we want all of it. Listen, guys, I grew up in Pentecostal church my whole life. Not like crazy, crazy Pentecostal, like rattlesnakes and that kind of stuff. That is foolishness. That's crazy. We're not talking about that. See, I hate the fact that when I say Pentecostal, some of you think that. People think that. That's why I don't tell people I'm Pentecostal. I say I'm Spirit-filled. That just sounds a little cleaner. Because when I say Pentecostal, some people think beehives and denim skirts and no makeup and no jewelry, and we're going to have rattlesnake. People still in this city believe that if you show up to Red Life Church, you're going to have to handle a rattlesnake. I heard that just a couple weeks ago. Not the snake, but like, they're cold. They're crazy. So we need something different, and the Holy Spirit is the only thing that we have that really is, okay? Do weird things. Listen, I can tell you stories of weird stuff I've seen all day in church, okay? One time we were in this, there was actually a meeting my mom and dad had, and they were doing this prayer line. A bunch of people were getting prayed for, and I was speaking. I was ministering that weekend, so I was there helping, and we were praying for people. And this guy starts praying for people, and this is what he said. He started praying for people, started saying, so funny. Started saying, fire in the hole. Fire in the hole on people. That's what he's praying over people. I'm like, I don't know what that, I mean, I guess he just means like more of God in their lives, but it came out fire in the hole. Let's just face it. That's weird, right? Like, I mean, would you ever go to someone on the street and start praying over them? Fire in the hole, fire in the hole. No, that only happens in like a Pentecostal meeting, right? I'm not going to sit there and say that's not weird. That's weird, okay? But just because something might be a little weird doesn't mean it's not God. Amen? Doesn't mean it is either. Because here's the other side of that is true. Some people want the Holy Spirit and want God to move so bad that they just get weird on their own. So I think if God's going to move, I've got to do some kind of crazy dance and get some kind of, you know, I need to get a streamer and, run around the city with it. Or I need to do, I need to stand up on a rooftop in overalls and speak in tongues as loud as I can. Or just, that's just like weird stuff. I got to cluck like a chicken and laugh uncontrollably and act like I don't have any sense in my head. That's weird, okay? And I say that as a full-fledged, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking Pentecostal. And that's why I'm allowed to talk about us. And about them, because I is them. Okay? That's weird. Here's where a lot of the weirdness comes from. And I hope this, because this really changed my heart. Because I used to be pretty judgmental on people that way. I'd be like, just sit down. Shut up. You're an idiot. You're stupid. Call them cereal Christians. Fruits, flakes, and nuts. Yeah. I don't have a lot of patience for that. I don't. Okay? Because this, listen, when the Holy Spirit is moving us to do something, y'all ever heard that before? I thought that was like common language. I thought that was common lingo. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Are we live right now? We're online. I'm going past my time, I don't know if you noticed this. We've changed our service order because I really respect your time. I really respect it. I know it doesn't seem like it right now, but I really do value the fact that many of you have worked all week long and have made the time to potentially be here. So I don't want to keep you here all day, and I want to respect that time and feel like you get value out of this time. Not that it's something dragging down, but can you give me like five more minutes? Can I have five more minutes? Okay. So. So I don't have a lot of patience for that. But let me tell you where that comes from. This is something that God really changed my heart. Listen, Here's what I want you to get, okay? Let me just read this again. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. One day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said. One day as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke to them. And then verse 3. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Okay. These guys, they were not trying to have this moving of the Holy Spirit. They were just trying to have more of God. They were hungry for God. And their hunger for God said, God, whatever you want to do, however you want to move, whatever you require of our lives, God, I want it because I want you. Okay? And in that atmosphere, the Holy Spirit spoke something pretty peculiar. Okay? These believers that had the power of the Lord in their lives and were seeing many people get saved, they weren't trying to, like, have this great revival. I don't believe they were trying to go, oh man, we just want the Holy Spirit to move. We're gonna make the Holy Spirit move. The prophet Agabus, he wasn't walking into that meeting saying, oh, I'm gonna give this prophetic word. I'm gonna make the Holy Spirit move. No, they just wanted God. And as their desire for God superseded everything else in their lives, the Holy Spirit thought, that's a great atmosphere for me to move in. Okay? And so here's what I realized. The weirdness that happens a lot of times is a lot of times where people want God so much, but there's like something, we just have this thing that's like, well, if it's like the weirder it is, then the more of God it is. And it's not that they're just trying to be weird and goofy on purpose just for the sake of it. It's that in their heart, they're like, I really want to see God move so badly that I may allow myself to do something a little out of the ordinary and that maybe isn't quite all God, but I want him. You know what I'm saying? Here's what I would say, guys. Listen to me. I would rather have a whole bunch of God in my life and in this church and maybe have to deal with a little bit of weirdness once in a while than be so afraid of anything weird happening in my life that we just say, God, we don't need your presence at all. I've had both. A little bit of weirdness with a lot of God is way better. Because there is nothing worse than trying to live a Christian life without the presence of Christ actively working in me. You want to find a miserable person? Find somebody who's trying to live the life that God has them to live without any activity of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Friend, that is a dry, dry place to be. So I still have to say, listen, these guys were just hungry for God and the Holy Spirit moved. I promise you, I could care less. I'll tell you, I believe if you want to speak in tongues and you want a prayer language, I believe that's biblically able for any believer to have. But I really could care less if you ever speak in tongues. I care if you want it. I want to believe for you to have that open in your life. But my job is not, I don't want to make you speak in tongues. That's not what I'm trying to do. I don't want to make you prophesy. I don't want to make you pray for people and see them again. I'm not trying to make you I just want you to have more of God. Yes. See, my concern is not, hey, you've got to speak in tongues. Hey, you've got to prophesy. Hey, you've got to have all these gifts of spirit in your life and do all this crazy stuff. That's not, no. But my problem is this, is when you decide that when you put a cap on how much of God you're going to let work in your life, and so you say, well, I'm just going to go this far with God and there's nothing more for me. I'm not going to do anything else. And so you just cap that all off. That's where I say, guys, that's not how it's supposed to be. So the question is not, do I want the Holy Spirit? Do I want the gifts of Spirit? The question is, do I just want more of God? And if I just say, yes, I just want more of God, then guess what? That means I may have to open myself up and to allow myself to say, okay, if more of God means this Holy Spirit activity in my life, then that's what I've got to be open to. Amen? Same over this place. So the question is, what do I want more? What do I want more? Here's what I've got to understand. Here's a great lesson, a great place we've all got to learn to get to in our lives is this. Listen to me close. In fact, lean in. I can't shout this. This is too good. Listen. God moves. God moves on his terms, yeah. Amen. Not mine. And what we do so often is we go, okay, God, I want this and I want that and I want this, but I'm going to need you to do it this way and this way and this way. I just want it all nice and neat in a nice little package wrapped up with a bow on it. Just, if you could just, you know, Amazon Prime that to me in 2 days, that'd be great. God don't work like that, friends. In fact, really the whole of Christianity is realizing that life is not to be lived on my terms. It's to be lived on God's. Life is not to be lived on my terms. It's to be lived on God's. Oh, yes, I want freedom in my life. But I don't want anything weird to happen for me to get it. Oh, yes, I want victory over sin. But I don't want to get emotional about it. Oh, yes, I don't want to be sick in my body. But I don't really know if I want people praying over me to be healed. That's a little weird. Well, you either want God or you don't. It's that simple. I either want him, so if I want him, I got to say, okay, well, let's look at his word. These are the ways that this is how he's chosen to move in my life. So if I want him, I've got to be okay with that. And if not, then what I'm doing, as I'm not saying you're a bad person, I'm not even saying you're not a Christian, I'm just saying what you're doing is putting a cap and saying, okay, well, this is just as far as I'm going to go. I just want to encourage you to say, don't sell yourself short. Don't decide something's not for you because you just don't even know anything about it yet. And certainly don't decide something's not for you because probably some well-meaning person just got their wires crossed a little bit and did something that made you uncomfortable. Just don't decide just none of that's for me anymore in my life. Amen? I sense the Holy Spirit here this morning. I really do. Just close your eyes for just a second. What do we do from here? I'm going to circle back around and hit this in a little deeper a little later on. This morning, where I want us to end is this. Maybe today you came in here with a whole bunch of pre-thought-out ideas on who the Holy Spirit is and how he wants to move and whether he is a part of your life or not a part of your life or how much of him is going to be a part of your life and how much is not. Like, yeah, I really like feeling his presence, but I don't really want to, like, have any gifts involved in my life. I don't want any of that kind of crazy stuff. Like, I just want to say, what I want us to do this morning is if the Lord's dealing with you, maybe there's some areas in your heart and in your mind that maybe the Lord's dealing with you to repent of when it comes to the Holy Spirit. And I say repent, I don't mean get on your knees and weep and wail. Repent just needs to change your mind. It needs to turn around. Maybe some areas where God's saying, let's just turn this around in your life. Let's just turn the way you thought about this around for a little bit. Here's what I'm asking. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in this place this morning, and you just say, man, I don't know what it is. I don't even know how to say it. I don't even know how to define it. I don't even know necessarily what it is I'm exactly looking for or how it's going to look, but I know I want more of God. I know I want more of him in my life. If that's where you are this morning, we just raise your hand real quick. All over this room, let's raise your hand. God, I just want more of you. Okay. I'm going to pray for all of us that would be all of our desire and that all whose hearts are saying, God, I want more of you. Listen, if that's where you are, then guess what? Let's begin to thank God. If more of you is more of the Holy Spirit's activity in my life, then that's what I want. That's what I need. That's what I want to have. Whatever that means. Whatever that means. That's how we're going to pray. We're going to worship for a moment, and then we're going to be dismissed today. And if you need to get out of your seat, if you need to move to the altar, if you want to move to have a little moment with God this morning, that's perfectly okay. That's perfectly fine. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus. Every heart whose heart's desire is God, simply more of you. More of you, Lord, I pray that you will give it to them, Lord. Your word says, God, that blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Lord, I ask you right now, not because it's my idea, but because, God, it's in your word. It's your idea. God, I ask you right now to fill every hungry heart with the Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that, God, we would decide from this moment on that, God, we want more of you, and God, we are going to pursue you and to have more of you, and God, to know you more, God, on your terms and not ours. Lord, help us to abandon our preconceived ideas and notions of what that looks like, and Lord, simply let you move how you want to move, not how we dictate for you to move, in Jesus' name. More of the Holy Spirit, more of your presence, more of your anointing, more of your gifts, more of your power, more of you, and everything that means, I pray, God, in every one of our lives. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's worship him for a second.
Thanks for listening. I'm Pastor Justin, and I believe Jesus has begun a transformational work in your heart through this word you've just heard. I'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. If you've made a commitment to follow him today or have a testimony to share about what God's doing, head on over to redlifechurch.com. Follow the tabs of the Get Connected page and send us a message. While you're there, you can also give to Red Life Church and to the work God is doing here in Brookville, Indiana. God's blessings upon you and your family.